Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 148. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey!
And we have reached the season finale of Movie Dudes. We are here for our top 10 films of the year. As always, we each get our own top 10, and we each get our own film of the year. And y'all just have to deal with it. We will crown two films this year, or possibly one, if we both choose the same film. Starting off with number 10 and counting down, Chris, what is your number 10 film of the year?
Oh, we just have 10? Shit. Just joking. No, I actually ranked all 60 of the films I saw this year, so...
I don't even know how many I saw. I don't like keep notes as well as you. I would imagine I saw at least 60. I don't know though.
Yeah, you're probably up there.
I'm prolific.
So my number 10 is Matt Reeves' War for the Planet of the Apes. Wow. A movie about apes. They go to war with Woody Harrelson. When we talked about it in the last episode. Best actor for me was Andy Serkis as Caesar. I think all the apes here are great. Like there's some great performances. Steve Zahn as Bad Ape is fucking hysterical. What it really comes down to is like this emotional revenge movie.
Yeah.
On both sides, like the Colonel is this evil fucker, but you know, he is doing it for reasons and to him being great. And then for us, like we are following behind Caesar and his quest for revenge for, you know, the Colonel murdering his family. And it works. Like it really, really works. It's a great war movie. Like the fact that it's called War for the Planet of the Apes, it's not a lie. Like it is a war movie through and through.
Yeah, I have no qualms with your inclusion on this list of that film, but placement I have a problem with. That movie's great, dude. It should be way higher.
Sure.
My number 10 is Coco.
Okay.
I'm happy I didn't have to cut it from the list, to be honest. With all the stuff I like crammed in at the end this year, I'm like, well, if I cut something from the list, it'll probably be number 10. But I'm like, I really don't want to cut Coco. We said it a couple weeks ago. I think it's as good as Pixar gets. Do I love it as much as Inside Out or WALL-E? Probably not, but it's right up there. And I think it's doing a lot of positive outside of just being a great film. So,
yeah, there's a lot of social commentary. We'll certainly be talking more Coco because it's on my list as well. But
and more social commentary, I would think.
Yes, I think we will as well. But yeah, like just the fact that it is a, you know, it's a movie about Mexican heritage and Mexican society, and for me, not being a Mexican, I found it super fascinating, and I'm sure for, like, I can't speak for Mexicans, I can't speak for Hispanic people, but I assume that them having a film, like, about their culture and treating it with such reverence, because it's not treated as, like, this jokey thing, has to be fucking great, like...
You just have to hope that they got it right, and from all reports I've heard from people who know, they did. So, it's. I'm like kind of thinking about picking it up, but I still need to get Inside Out on Blu-ray, which I do not have. So, anyways, yeah, great film, Chris.
Plenty of time, you know. You can get Inside Out now, and then Coco won't be out for a little bit. So,
yeah. I need to like fill out my whole Pixar collection. Like I have probably half of the ones that I would want, you know. But anyways, Chris, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is it's a Western, I guess you've called it.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I stand by the fact that I don't like Westerns, but I will I will go by your judgment here that it is a Western movie. It is Wind River. Taylor Sheridan, filled with excellent dialogue, great performances by Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. I love the scenery. Like, it is a beautifully shot movie. I don't remember. Was it Wyoming? I believe it's Wyoming.
I can't remember. That sounds right.
It's just this beautiful place, though. It takes place on this Native American reservation. And I love a great murder mystery. This is a super fascinating one. And it features, for me, the best action sequence of the year that really, like, it sells everything all the way through this. Like, and when it culminates with that action sequence, it, like, everything kind of ties together. And to see the bad guys get their end in such a way is great. So
it makes me happy when I recommend a movie to someone and they actually are like, that shit was fucking dope. Because you know what? Doesn't happen a lot. A lot of my coworkers, I'll be like, you gotta see fucking Brawl in Cell Block 99. I'll be like, that movie fucking sucked. And I'm like, you're not easy to please. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm happy to hear you, like, really like that movie. Like, I totally agree with you. I guess my number seven I would also classify as a Western, and that's Logan. Like,
We're number nine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoilers.
I hope you didn't jump to number seven. Oh, you did. But anyway, what's your number nine?
My number nine is not my number seven.
That's good.
My number nine is Get Out. Okay. I think it's a really impressive, like, debut film from Jordan Peele. Like, especially that he comes out of, like, the comedy world. And he's just like, here's this film that it's funny, but it's a legit horror film. I wish it went a little stronger with some of the horror at the end, like, a little more intense.
And I also, like... There's two things here. Like, I really like this movie, and it's – we'll just get into it right now because it's my number eight. So we can just talk about it straight through. Yeah. But there's a scene in it that I think is completely out of place.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like the police station?
Yeah, there's the police station scene. And, like, I think it's actually really – it's a really funny scene, but it does not feel like it belongs in this movie.
Should have been a deleted scene or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, oh, like this doesn't fit the feel of the movie. We're gonna cut it. Yeah. Like, it's actually a really funny scene, but it just doesn't work. And then the ending is something that I wish that we talked about this when the movie came out. I wish that they had just pushed a little bit further and went for the dark ending.
Yeah, it was just weird because, like, I don't feel like I hear a lot of people say that. A lot of people are like, in fact, if I see anything, they'll say they went for the right choice here to have it be the TSA guy. And I'm like, no, dude, this is a hardcore horror movie. So the right choice is the world is bad and it's going to kill you. And, you know, guess what? The police are out to get the fucking, you know, the black people. Like, that's the ending. I mean, I'm sorry, but, like.
Right.
He did film an alternate ending that was kind of like that, but even that I would have liked, like, because you could watch that on the Blu-ray, like, I would have liked that to even been a harder fucking edged ending, but that said, I mean, like, and I just wish, like, the horror, like, in the last 20 minutes or so was a little more, like, hard-edged, like, violent and shit, right? Like,
right.
But everything leading up to that, like, the whole building of tension and the awkward comedy of the first, like, hour and a half of it, I think are fucking great. So that's why it's my number nine.
Yeah, it's, like, that whole party scene, like, everything works so well. And then when you actually find out what the fuck is going on, it's like, holy shit. Like, they went all the way with it. does so many good things, and it is genuinely creepy at points.
Yeah, for sure. They're doing like the auction and shit. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, or the one thing, one guy realizes where he is, and he's like, get out yeah. of here.
It's so good. I just wish it had kind of pushed just a little bit more, but it's a great movie.
You had that mainstream appeal and everything. Like, you had the people in the seats, like, really push them, like, make them uncomfortable, not more than they already were. And there was lots of uncomfortable laughter in the theater when I saw it. It was great. Anyways, we need to move along.
Yeah.
So, number eight, Chris.
That was my number eight. So, what's your number eight?
My number eight is I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
Okay.
Written and directed by Macon Blair, I believe. And, it's Melanie Lynskey and what's his name? The little Lord of the Rings dude.
Elijah Wood.
They're kind of like these two misfits who like hook up, like an odd couple, and they're out to fight the assholes in the world. Basically get back at these people that robbed Melanie Lynskey's place. And it's kind of like this wacky, like odd couple thing for a lot of it. And then I don't know where it gets real violent. I also just love the sentiment of, you know, everyone in the world is assholes and we have to get back at them. I don't know. It's just like a fun, really offbeat, weird movie. I know it didn't quite connect with you as much as it did me, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, there are scenes that still stick out to me though that are fucking like wonky as shit. When they go to the house, like where they're gonna go and try and get the computer back, he throws the fucking ninja stars.
Yeah, he's like trying to pull it out of the wall and he can't even get it out of the wall. Or just like at the end, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, people are getting like their hands blown off and shit. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, like, this thing's just all over the place.
Like, all of a sudden it got really gory. Like, it was, I think you said it, it's like, I think you when you were writing it up on your Facebook post or whatever, you said it's tonally inconsistent. But,
yeah.
And it is, but it's enjoyable at parts for me. It's like, it did not click quite as well, but yeah, I could definitely see.
It's just weird and wacky. I don't know. I just think if you could get on the wavelength of that, like if you think that title is cool, which I think it is, you might enjoy it. What's your number seven, Chris?
My number seven is Coco. You kind of said it already that this is fucking classic Pixar here. It's them at their best. There's some good music in it. Which is funny because Pixar doesn't really make musicals, but this is kind of a musical. I think the animation, the artwork is fucking phenomenal. When they pull into that, like the Land of the Dead for the first time, and you see the layers and layers of like houses and lights, and it's fucking amazing. But then like all Pixar movies, there is this, you know, heavy theme, and it's this theme about like, you know, being remembered. And if nobody remembers you, like you truly die.
It's super dark.
Yeah.
Depressing.
Like, when it first happens, it's like, oh, where's he going? Like maybe he's just like moved on to another realm or something. Nope, he's gone. Yep. It's like It's the final death when nobody back in the land of the living remembers you anymore. You're done, which is it's like this crazy, like, crazy thing.
And, like, never in my life have I been like, I think I need to have kids until I saw Coco.
Right. It's like, I need so they remember me. Yeah, they tell their kids stories about me. Like, I need to be, not only do I need to have kids, but I need to be like the best fucking parent and the craziest person ever so that nobody ever
right.
hates me. So that, like, I can live in a castle in the land of the dead. But it's a great film. There's you know, the scene towards the end where he is singing to his grandmother is another like kind of tear jerking.
For sure.
Yeah, it's another tear jerking scene there. They always get that right, and it's a special movie. And I didn't see a lot of animated movies this year, but I don't like nothing stuck out like I wanted to see like this movie. So I don't see much being better than it on the animated.
It's going to win the Oscar for sure, I think. My number seven, Chris, spoilers. I don't know if you heard about this. It's Logan.
No way.
Yeah. Which is also kind of like a Western. I mean, we've already discussed this in the last episode, and I've already discussed it once here because I got out of order. But, I mean, Logan is one that, like, I was impressed with the first time I saw it. I thought it was very good. But the second time I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, I understand why people were, like, losing their shit over it and why it had such a high tomato score, etc. Like, it's a great film. It really does feel like a Western to me. I mean, they make it very obvious that it's inspired by Westerns. It's just simple and beautiful and awesome action to characters you love. Like, we already discussed great ending, like, tear-jerking ending. Like, Logan is almost, like, kind of a complete package, I think.
It's truly a great... Like it is a great superhero movie that because it's not really a superhero movie.
Yeah, like I mean, not even like, you know, I'm sure people who listen to this podcast are familiar with Wolverine or whatever, but it's like I could tell someone, like, I would recommend this to someone at work who does not watch superhero movies or whatever. Like, what's a good movie that came out this year? I think you should check out Logan. Like, I would just be like, I don't care if you fucking know about it or not. I think right. It works still. I think if you know about all that shit, like if you've seen all the movies, if you're invested in X-Men, then it's probably even more powerful. But like, I think it works to stand alone.
Yeah, fully agree. And I think that's what makes it so good, right? And I think that is...
That's the key.
Why Justice League, why Thor, why Spider-Man, why Guardians of the Galaxy 2, like why all that shit is not on my list this year, because Logan is a movie that can stand on its own and it doesn't need all this other bullshit tied to it. Like, those movies are fine. They're fun. But so much of those movies now, especially the Marvel movies, are tied in the identity of that like Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're basically TV shows that are 2 hours long, and you can't jump in the middle. Like, anybody can watch Logan and get something out of it, and just as you said, like, you know, me and you having seen X-Men, understanding where Hugh Jackman has, you know, the journey he's gone on as Wolverine over like whatever, like 47 films or whatever fuck he's been in, like it hits a little harder for us, but I could be like to somebody that doesn't watch like superhero movies at my work and be like, yeah, like this is one you're gonna like it's a great movie about a father and a daughter.
Yeah.
And that's why it works. It's this simple story. Like, you could take Wolverine's claws away, you could take X-23's claws away, and at that point, it's just a movie about a man and a girl and him protecting her.
Yep. What's your number six, Chris?
My number six is a more traditional superhero movie. In fact, very traditional.
Yeah.
Maybe the most traditional superhero movie this year, but also the one with the most pure and hopeful kind of outlook on life, and that's Wonder Woman. It is very genre formulaic.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that. But I think the message, and mostly it's the message that comes with this character and the way that Gal Gadot, I have no idea how to pronounce her name, but the way she portrays Diana Prince, Wonder Woman here, it gave me that feeling that I know people get from Superman that I've never gotten from him. Like yeah. that he should be this hopeful beacon of light. And that's what I felt Wonder Woman was. Like, in a year when it has been pretty shitty.
Yeah.
When she, and we talked about this in the last episode, when she steps up in No Man's Land, mm-hmm. to do the right thing against the German army.
And against the vice, the advice of her own
people. We have a mission.
The dudes.
Like we have to keep moving. Like, hey, like, these soldiers are here. Like, they're going to die. Like, whatever. But that's not our problem. It is our problem. Like, we can do something. We can help turn the tide of this war. We can help save these people. We can help save that town. And because I know I can do it.
Yeah, and fuck the ultimate goal, because we're going to do this also. Like, we're going to do it all, because guess what? I saw the right thing to do. I'm going to do it every step of the way. Like, I just... It's the message we needed for this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. It's super formulaic, and for me, maybe... like, and that's why when we talked about best summer movie, like, I picked War for the Planet of the Apes. But for me, like, I don't know... This movie kind of hit at the right time.
It's up there, yeah.
For me. So it because of the way it hit, like, I think that for me, it just, that's why it's higher on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it did not make my top 10, but like, I really like that movie a lot. My number six is Split, which was probably my number one for the whole first half of the year. Like, yeah. We discussed this already in the last episode and full on spoilers, but like, yeah, like finding out, like, one, it was just a great thriller to begin with, but then finding out that, hey, guess what? You were actually watching a villain origin story, which is also, guess what? By the way, a fucking sequel to like one of your favorite fucking movies of all time, which is what you consider the best comic book movie of all time, was just like, oh my god, like, I fucking, like, literally lost my fucking mind in the theater, dude. Like, just like, whoa! I said the line, like, a half second before, like, they say on the screen, like, Mr. Glass. I was like, Mr. Glass! Oh! It was like my Star Wars moment or whatever. It was like my, like,
yeah.
Oh my god! But, like, it came by such a surprise that I was just, I couldn't help myself. And for that alone, dude, I'm surprised it wasn't number one overall. But yeah, I love Split. I still need to pick that Blu-ray up.
That's a reason why I love going to the movies.
Yeah, you never know.
And yeah, and especially, like, I love going to see a movie in the movie theater. And I love moments like that that are genuinely surprising, because like, if we hadn't gone to see Split in the theater,
I would have spoiled somewhere.
Yeah, like it would have been spoiled. Like, I mean, there. I think you hadn't even seen The Last Jedi yet, and
I got that.
Somebody spoiled something for you, and like, it hadn't been out 2 days yet. Like,
yeah.
So I know that there are like a lot of people that don't like going out to the theater, and. To me, like, that is, like, you don't get that experience anywhere else. It's such a great moment when something like that happens and you're just like, holy shit, holy shit. And it's on this huge screen and it's like the music.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I had heard, I think I was a Slash Filmcast where they're like, hey, go see this fucking movie. Also, don't listen to this podcast. Also, go see this movie right away. And I'm like, okay. And so, like, I knew, like, a cool twist was coming. But, like, never in a million years could I have imagined that twist would have been, guess what, you're watching a sequel. Like, that's never happened before. Like, that's a new thing that he did this year that, like, no filmmaker has done before going, guess what, this was a sequel. Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a twist. So that's my number six. What's your number five, Chris?
My number five is Slight.
Fuck, yeah, dude.
This was a movie that was pretty high up on my list throughout most of the year, and it was able to hold around in the top five. Movie about, like, a street magician who's caring for his sister, and he gets wrapped up in, you know, with a drug dealer running drugs for him, and worse things as well. And when he tries to get out, he gets pulled in deeper, and he has to get out by using, like, science and his magic, which is just, like, you know, his science tricks and stuff. But it works really well. It's a great superhero movie. Great performances by, like, the lead, I think it's Jacob Lattimore. Like, everything works in it. Like, it's just this great uplifting film as well, where this kid is just fighting against the tide, and he's able to do it. Like, he's able to make a better life for him and his sister ultimately. Through some fucked up shit, but yeah, it's another film this year that just, I don't know if I maybe went out of my way to try and look for maybe more diverse films, but, like, this is one that, like, caught my eye. And I watched it. It's another film with a young black lead.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm glad that, like, this is maybe a film that 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe I don't try, because it's, like, a low budget kind of, you know, sci-fi shit. And it's like, it's this indie bullshit. Maybe I don't try it. But I'm glad I did, because it's truly a really good movie. And much like I'm trying to think of the drug movie from last year. It was like a comedy.
Oh, Dope.
Yeah, like that was another one. Like, probably not a film that I would have tried a couple of years ago, but you know, I'm growing as a film goer, and and I'm willing to, make you know, try. Like, hey, you know what, an hour and a half isn't that much to experience somebody else's stories and a different perspective on life. And this is something cool. Like, I'm glad that this is out there and it's really good. So, like, I think that you should give it a shot.
Yeah. And I guess kind of like a semi-related, like, I guess, observation, I would say, like, it's like a lot of indie movies that I watch, I don't think are very good, but I watch them because one in every five of them is amazing. And I'm like, it's better than anything else I saw this year. So it's like, I just highly recommend everybody giving things you might not think are your jam a chance, because you never know. There's a lot of good stuff out there if you broaden your horizons. Anyways, I liked Slight a lot. I totally forgot about it for some reason, but I'm glad that you are, like, you know, carrying a flame for that film, because that film was awesome. Like, it's a wonderful example of what you can do with a low budget. It's like a low budget film with aspirations. Like,
yeah,
it's a low budget film with, like, hey, we're still doing special effects. We're going to do shit. Reminds me of that film Chronicle almost.
Yeah.
which was like, I think they made it for like $10 million, and to me, like, it looked great. Like, everything about it looked great. It's just like, hey, we're not gonna have 8 billion explosions, we're gonna have 8 explosions, and they look cool.
But they're gonna look awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, Slight is really good, dude. And I just, like I said before, I love that, like, the whole, like, they try to explain in detail, like, how he does the tricks. Like, it's pretty cool. My number five is Wind River. We already discussed this quite a bit. You think it's, like, the best action scene of the year. I think it's quite up there. Like, I love that. There's some, like, weird things about it. Like, you think it's going to be, like, this slow kind of, like, mystery, but it's, like, they just kind of, like, plop the answer to the mystery out for you, though. It's just like, here you go. Like, here's a flashback scene. We're going to show you the whole thing. Some weird things like that. And by the way, awesome to see Bernthal in that scene. Like, that motherfucker needs to be, like, in a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love the dialogue of it. I love the look of it. I just love, like, the sentiment, like, the vibe of it. And I love how it just explodes into, like, Quentin Tarantino violence at the end, where everyone's shooting at each other at once. And the violence comes quick and fast and gory and, like, over the top. I don't know about super gory, but still, it's pretty good payoff there at the end. I think it's like a strong end emotionally too, and like it has like it's a film that like has its heart in the right place, you know. So what are we? Are we on number
four?
Four now. What's your number four, Chris?
My number four. I am. So, if we had done this episode last Saturday, this movie would have been farther down the list. Possibly not on the list. And then I saw it again, and it moved up. And I am still honestly surprised that if you had asked me at the beginning of the year if the new Star Wars movie would be number four on my list, I probably would have laughed at you, because the last couple of years, like, Star Wars has been number one, number two on my list here. Easily my most anticipated film of the year. There are issues with it. we discussed them in detail.
Yeah.
But
I got to say, Chris, the more I think about it, and I have not watched it again, they're kind of fading away for me, and I'm kind of going, that was a pretty great Star Wars film. But for me, it's just like, I just felt like there were 10 films I thought that were better this year, honestly. But like, I'm really starting to like dig on what he did with it. But anyways. Yeah,
like, and when we discussed it on the full podcast with just talking about The Last Jedi, when I first went to go see it, and maybe some of this was my own fault, like, you know, you have your own theories in your head, you have your own thoughts as to where things are going, and I came away from it, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And the more that I think about it, it is a Star Wars movie that really makes you think about things. Maybe it doesn't hit on everything. Like, I really think the Finn and Rose storyline, as much as I like those characters, is totally useless. I understand the argument for that happening.
Yeah, that you could fail, and it's like, you could do a shorthand version of that.
Yeah, there's a way they could have done that. Like, cutting, you know, you could have cut 40 minutes from this movie and still had them fail somewhere, but I don't know. I came away loving Rey more than ever. I love Rose. Poe really grew on me. Like, he was kind of like a non-character in that first the Force Awakens.
He's like a lead in this one.
Yeah, he's very much a lead here. I came away really liking Kylo Ren, and I can't say enough about Mark Hamill's performance in this, which is one flipping out Star Wars fans everywhere. Like, they feel so betrayed by the performance here, by the way the character acts,
by it being better than it was in the. I mean, I'm sorry. I think he's a better actor now.
Sure. Well, I think that.
Oh, you mean he acts different after 40 years right. of living on an island? Yes. Oh my God!
And to me, like that, like I understand exactly why. Like, you know what?
It makes sense. He's old now. I'm not the same person I was when I was 20 years old. I'm not the same person I was when we started this podcast. God damn it!
He's older and he failed. Like,
yeah.
And to me, like, and I don't know. Maybe it's just the personality I have. I could totally see that if my sister was like, hey, I want you to train my only son to do the magic shit you do, and then I fuck up so bad that he becomes like the worst fucking evil in this, that I might, you know, not want to face my best friend and my sister ever again. And I might go hide on a fucking island somewhere where nobody could find me. That seems to make logical sense to me. I don't know.
How is he supposed to be static after?
Like, I don't know what they wanted. I don't care.
I could almost understand an argument from someone who's like 20 years old going, Luke is inconsistent. Like,
right.
But like, if someone who's watched them since 1977, I want to be like, dude, are you the same person you were in 1977? Yeah. Like. You're an adult. You should be able to understand complex things like dude is old now and he's cranky and like, you know, life has happened.
Right. And like
are you really the stereotype of like you're 35 and living in your mom's basement and that you're just have not developed since you were 13?
Like I was 5 years old when I saw Return of the Jedi. I got a stuffed Ewok, which mind you, I still have, but it now like it no longer sleeps in my bed with me. It's on a shelf, like it's a display item. But yeah, like I was 5 years old when I saw that movie. I am not, while my wife may disagree at times, I am not a 5 year old anymore. Like I'm 39. Like there, I have 34 years of experience since I saw that movie. I'm not the same person. Like and neither would Luke be. Like it makes zero sense that
he should be.
Yeah, like, and it would make zero sense if he was like, and yeah. I'm glad that he was this cynical man. That just he didn't want to train Rey, but ultimately he realized that you know he needed to do something, and in their time of need, you know he was the hero he needed to be.
Yeah,
and I don't know, I really really like this film a lot. I am super excited to see where they're going with it going forward.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to see it again with my kids on Christmas Eve. And I may come out of that going, nope, you know what? This is a better film than I thought after I saw it two times. And I think that, you know, a couple years from now, I may have a different view on it. But right now, like as a huge Star Wars fan, I think that slotting at number four for me is the right spot. Like, that's not, don't take that as like, oh, Chris hates Star Wars now. Like it's still the fourth best movie in the year, I think, like, or the fourth most fun I had at the movies.
Yeah.
So that's my number four and I can't wait for more.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it's viewed with time. I think we're already getting to the point where like people are like, it's pretty good. Like it's, you know, you have the people that I think it's like the best one, one of the best ones for sure. You know,
yeah.
I just think it had, like I kind of said on our Star Wars episode. I think Force Awakens is more. Here's your cupcake. Enjoy it, kid. Like,
yeah.
Here's the sugar that you wanted. And this is more like not sugar. It's like, hey, I want to sit you down and you got to read a book. Like, you got to do some homework.
Yeah. It's like, I think I said this when we talked about it on the podcast, too. But, like, The Force Awakens was coming home. Like, it was hey, we know what you want. Here's what it is. And now they've refined all that. They're like, they gave us what we wanted. They got us back at home. And now they want to show us new stuff. And I think that's great. Like, I want new stuff. Like, I want new stuff from this world.
And I think I love the way that Johnson defied your expectations. Like, he fought against them. Like, hey, what you think matters is not what's important to this. Like, hey, where she came from, guess what? Maybe she's just strong with the Force. Like, that's it. Like, she was born like that. She came from, like people who are nobody.
And and even, like,
he did it every step of the way in the film.
That's like, such a great message, too, because, like, outside of that, like, it's always been the Skywalkers, right? Like, if you're a Skywalker, like, that's you decide the fate of the universe. But now it's like anybody can.
Yeah.
Anybody. Like, it doesn't matter who your bloodline was. Like, you over there can do it. You over there can do it. You just need to try and fight for the things that you love. And, like, we can make it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's funny because, you know, Star Wars films are always kind of viewed as poppy films, like, not much message between them. It's, you know, it's the ultimate battle of good versus evil. This might be the first one that actually has a message behind it and is deeper than just, like, fun pop film. Like,
it definitely, I did notice it. And, like, you know, they're pretty blunt about it when they're, like, in that casino, and they're, like, you know, these are war profiteers, like, you know. I don't know, dude. Like, it's one that is, like, growing on me in my mind without me having rewatched it. So, we'll see, but totally respect it, and just didn't make my top 10.
That's fine.
I didn't want to kick Coco to the curb. I like Coco a lot.
What do you have at number four?
My number four is War for the Planet of the Apes, which, okay, when I saw that, was the best film I'd seen this year. Like we said, perfect summer movie. Very emotional, despite the fact that you're watching talking apes, and Woody Harrelson kind of ham it up, but also play a great villain. The movie is, like, super emotionally devastating, like, depressing even. It's very downbeat for a summer film.
Yeah.
I remember, like, right after, there's a part where they hang Caesar up and they, like, whip him and shit, and I was like, I need a break from this. Like, I went outside and hit up my vape. I was just like, alright, I need, like, some fresh air and, like not feel downtrodden for a minute and go back to this. But, like, overall, riveting. You're super into it. Like, I totally wanted to see Woody Harrelson get fucking killed by the end. But by the time Caesar reaches him, he's already lost his mind. So there's zero satisfaction in seeing him do it.
And the choice that Caesar makes there is so human, right? Like,
he kills him, doesn't he?
Yeah, but
yeah,
it's also like I don't think he kills him out of,
you get nothing out of it. You're like, you feel bad for him after that. You're like, oh, what the fuck? Like, how do I feel bad for this guy who I wanted dead so bad?
Because he did so many bad things, but like, looking at him now, he's the sad, pathetic creature that,
he's still a living person, too. It's like, he's still a person, and you just, like, see him on that base level, and you're like, fuck. Like, that was so masterfully handled. Like, such a, just, like, playing your emotions like a violin. Like, we're just like, oh, fuck. And just, like, even Donkey Kong turning and fucking shooting a dude with a grenade launcher and shit like that. Like, this movie delivered the goods. Like, it was just fun, but also kind of challenging for a summer film.
Yeah.
What's your number three, Chris?
My number three is Stephen King's It.
Wow. I like it.
It is a movie that one, like, there's so much riding on this. Like, Stephen King does not have a great track record with film adaptations. There are really great film adaptations of his, but when they try to do these big long movies, big long books of his, it doesn't always turn out great. They found a team of people that were able to take that book and adapt it in such a way that it feels like this. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, it feels like Stranger Things, but it certainly, but Stranger Things definitely pulls from like the original It and Goonies and stuff like that. Which is more where I felt this was pulling from. It's this great group of kids that band together against this horrible evil.
And it's like, somehow, despite the fact that it's like kind of pulling from that stuff, it feels like vibrant. It feels like new, important horror. Yeah. Like, it's...
And these people that, like, I don't know, they saw this one and... I don't know, like, they were like, oh, it doesn't compare to the original one. The original,
they're wrong.
Fucking TV movie.
It's not good. They're wrong.
Like, trust go back and this. Watch that TV movie, because I understand, like, people have this nostalgia for it. It is not, it is not this. This is fucking amazing. It is a great, great adaptation. The imagery is like excellent all the way through. Bill Skarsgård, awesome choice to be Pennywise. I know some people are like, oh, he looks sinister just in standing pose, whereas I guess in the original It, the fuck was his name? Tim Curry.
Yeah.
He looked more clownish, right, than a...
He looked like a regular clown. Like, yeah. He looked like a guy you would see at the carnival.
And I get that kind of, like, oh, like, he should have been more, you know, more happy clown, like, up until he gets scary clown, but I like the look of him. I like the backstory of it. I am super excited to see how they handle the next set. Like,
I'm worried.
Yeah, because that's the not good part, right? Like,
it's the harder to do, for sure. Yeah. Like, it's this first half, you could rely on Stand By Me tropes. I'll play a right. fucking song you remember. Hey, remember what it was like being a 13? And it's a little more complicated to do, like, being older and regret and, like...
Yeah.
Worrying about how your life turned out. Like, it has to be more adult film than the first one even was, I think. But
oh no, for sure. Like, it needs to deal with adult themes. Not that this one didn't,
but I just hope it does. I hope it, like, really goes for it, you know.
Yeah. As much as I feared this one would be bad, I am really hoping that chapter two fucking really out of the park, because that first this chapter one is fucking phenomenal.
Agreed. It was not in my top 10, but I loved it. So you know, but speaking of stories about supernatural beings that haunt an area for generations, my number three is a ghost story.
Okay.
This is definitely totally art house, but like I've said before, I think it does have a certain mainstream appeal to it. So, yes, it has a 5-minute long shot of a woman eating pie. It is shot in like standard aspect ratio, if not smaller, like almost like a little square on your screen. It makes all these bold artistic choices, right? But the story it tells is, like, super interesting from start to finish. It has, like, some awesome, like, 80s-looking sci-fi special effects in it with, like, fucking portals to other dimensions opening up. That looks, it looks like something out of an 80s TV show. But it's not done because they, I mean, it is low budget, but it's done because, like, that's the artistic choice that they made for the movie. Like, it's just, it's a movie that throughout it makes you think. It mostly makes you think about how small the time that we have on Earth is compared to the rest of it. So, like, this dude dies, he becomes a ghost, he's haunting the house where his wife lives, but eventually she moves out, other people move in. 100 years down the road, the house gets torn down. Another 100 years from then, there's skyscrapers, like, and it's like a metropolis, you know, like, it's just, I don't know, like, it just makes you, like, it's definitely probably one that you want to, like, smoke a big fat bowl to, but even if not, like, if you could be on the right wavelength or be in the mood for something like that, it's actually more satisfying than a lot of, like, films in that vein usually are. Like, it actually, like, builds to this ending that, like, you get an emotional catharsis from, like, you, and you felt like you saw a complete story and enjoyed it. I don't know. I highly, you haven't seen it yet, right?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I guess it's definitely, you know, with any art house film, it's like, it's not, it might not click with everybody, but I think there's a good chance you would enjoy it. You know, and I put it at number three, so pretty strong recommendation.
All right. I am going to add it to my list. So,
what's your number two, Chris?
My number two is The Big Sick.
Interesting.
Comedy about a Pakistani-born comedian who meets this grad student, falls in love, but then breaks up, and somehow he ends up being the contact person for her. As she is going into, like, a coma. and he sticks around and kind of learns about love and life from her parents and from his, you know, his parents. And it becomes very interesting. And it's kind of really funny. Some great dialogue.
The 9/11 joke.
Yeah. There's some stuff that's really good in it. But
my favorite part is the part about his dad. I think his dad, his or would-be father-in-law is talking about, like, how he cheated on his wife, I think.
Yeah.
And how he immediately felt guilty afterwards. I'm like, this dude barely knows him. They're sleeping, like, they're in the same room in the dark. He's super uncomfortable to begin with. It's just, I don't know, dude. This movie hits all the right notes.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, though.
No, it's great. Great performances. Holly Hunter, Ray Romano.
God. They're so good.
Kumail Nanjiani is great. Zoe Kazan is asleep for most of the film, but she's beautiful. I would love to watch more of her. Yeah, I just really liked it. It really hit the right notes. You know, it's sure it's a romantic comedy, but it does it in such a different way. And it works. It really does work.
A lot of like, if I told one of my friends that I thought a romantic comedy was great, they would be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I was like, "I don't know, dude. Romantic comedies are a lot of times, like, sometimes fun. Like, if they're done well, I like the genre quite a bit."
Yeah,
you know, Chasing Amy is a romantic comedy. I think pretty great film, you know.
Sure, like, a lot of romantic comedies are just, like, fluff pieces, but, you know, sometimes you want some fluff. This is this definitely has some social commentary behind it, and it has more to say than just, like, your standard fluffy romantic comedy. But
it doesn't feel like corporate schlock, or it's right. Like, this is heartfelt and real, like, authentic.
Right.
The Big Sick is a great film. I guess we don't have to talk about that much more, though, because that was also my number two. I love that movie.
Nice.
I have it on Blu-ray. I have not rewatched it yet, but I'm looking forward to rewatching it.
Yeah, we think it's one I need to buy.
Yeah, dude. Like, I just remember, I don't even remember what the last shot of it was, but I just remember, like, once the credits hit, I'm like, that was a perfect note you ended on. Everything you did in that movie was, like, kind of perfect. So, like, it was never too heavy a touch. Like, it was just right and funny and heartfelt and just great. But fell just short of Chris, the best movie of the year.
So for me, I only gave one movie 5 stars all year long.
And I think I know what it is.
And it's Logan.
Yes.
It is and we've talked a lot about it. It was Jeff's number 7. It has my favorite ending of the year. It has my coolest, most badass character of the year. And it is such a perfect send-off to that character. But and a lot of why I like it is because of that. It feels like this perfect send-off that people don't get, you know, like
mm-hmm.
often, but also, like, by itself, it is a phenomenal film that is basically this road trip of a man and his daughter and how he'll do anything to protect her at the end of the day, even giving his life. So, yeah, it's a great, perfect send-off for that, but it's also a great kind of perfect movie for me outside of that. Like, it hits everywhere. It does not need to be a mutant movie. It does not need to be an X-Men movie for this movie to work. That is just, you know, geek sprinkling on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good way to put it. Cause like, it doesn't have to be Wolverine. You can just change it to some guy. But the fact that it is Wolverine, it just means that it's cool because he can slice motherfuckers up with his fists.
Right.
Like, it doesn't, like, you don't have to know the whole history of it. I just want to say, I knew going in that was going to be number one. Like, I was like, there's a chance he'll say Last Jedi, but, like, if he does that deep in his heart later, he'll know it should have been Logan. Like, I know it was Logan for you, and I 100% respect it. That movie is fucking fantastic, and it's on my Christmas list. It better get here.
Hope you get it. It's really great.
My movie of the year is Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Nice.
So the story of this film is Vince Vaughn. He begins working as a courier for a drug dealer to make money. He makes good money off of it. He ends up going to prison, and his boss's enemies force him to have to kill somebody so that they don't kill his wife, who is on the outside. So if you follow all that, that's basically it. It's a pretty basic plot.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, he's in a desperate situation and goes to desperate measures. And the last half hour is just a smorgasbord of, like, fucking insane violence with, like, gore and smashing heads and ripping people's fucking faces off and snapping people's fucking arms out of their, like, remember that scene in The Fly where he, like, breaks his fucking arm, the bone comes out? You got that shit in here. Like, it is an opera of violence. And maybe that's becoming a theme with me because, like, last year I loved Green Room. That was my number one. Maybe that's a frightening thing. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, I appreciate it as it's a genre film, which is, like, at the end of the day, I love film, but, like, what I'm all about is what I'm about when I was a kid, which is, like, genre films. Die Hard, Gremlins, fucking, like, shit, movies that gave you the goods.
Right.
And that's what fucking Brawl and Cell Block 99 is. It's like fucking... It's got a little bit of a slow start to it, but once it gets like going, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe the fucking madness that's happening in this. It's by the guy that made Bone Tomahawk, so I don't know how much you enjoyed that one, Chris, but
it was all right. Like, I mean, that was a, for most of that movie, it was a pure Western.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, the last 20 minutes of that movie were fucking amazing, but yeah. it takes a while to get to that point. But yeah, like, I mean, that Bone Tomahawk, once it got to where it had to go,
yeah,
it was brutal.
Well, it's like Brawl and Cell Block 99 is kind of structured a lot of the same way. And, like, it's a very conventional, like, hey, this guy got into crime, and then he had to do the time, and he's in prison and, like, dealing with the shit. But then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you have to kill all these motherfuckers in prison, otherwise we're going to kill your wife. And it just goes, like, into horror territory where he's just, like, destroying people. And I'm just like, this is wild, dude. And then for it to end on, like, him getting his fucking head blown off as the final shot, I'm like, I can't wait to see whatever the fuck this director does till the end of time. Because between Bone Tomahawk and this, I'm like, you have my fucking attention, motherfucker. So, like I said, I don't know, Chris, like, when you watch this movie, if it'll be right. Your number one, but I'm, like, almost positive that you'll like it a little bit, like, 3-star minimum.
Right. It is on my list for next week. It comes to Redbox on Tuesday, the 26th. Yeah. So I will be watching it then. We'll see if my list changes at all. But
yeah, I would say get excited, honestly. But, like, then again, there's people who I respect who have watched the movie and thought it was trash. So, but that's my film of the year, and I'm not backing it down.
Nice.
That, it's a fucking ton of fun, and it's just a no-bullshit movie, like, and you'll see what I'm saying when you see it. Like, it's just, everyone's hard-edged, and everyone's just like, this is my mission, this is what I'm doing. I don't know. Love it.
I'm looking forward to it, so.
And obviously there were things, like, I would have loved to see this year, but that's what I saw. So, like, any of the stuff that comes right down to the wire, like, what is it? The Shape of Water is going wide, I think, this weekend or next weekend.
Shape of Water, The Post.
We're going to call them eligible for 2018 Best of. But I bet you, like, with a lot of these Oscar movies, we don't give a shit about them in 11 months because we've seen so many other better shit since then. So.
Yeah, that's, I mean, hey, I might come out of The Post going, that was a really good movie, but very rarely is my top 10 going to be shaped by, like, what the Oscar committee is saying are the top 10 movies of the year. So some of them might match, but.
Yeah, I don't know if the Oscars will feel the same way as I do about Halloween 2018.
But no.
We'll see how I feel about it. I'm very worried. I don't know. Chris, did you see the news about Halloween 2018?
I did not.
Nick Castle is playing The Shape. That is the Nick Castle from Halloween 1.
Okay.
Who is also 70 years old now. So I don't know how that's
going to move well.
Yeah. He's going to be using a walker. But
all right. I mean, hey. You know, Peter Mayhew is still getting inside the Chewbacca costume, and he's like 70 years old, so.
I heard he didn't do all the work on Last Jedi.
No, I don't think he did, but he does get into the costume on occasion.
Well, see how it turns out.
It's been a fun year of film. So I'm looking forward to 2018. Weirdly, like, you know, coming into this year, I had The Last Jedi, like, to like look forward to it in December. And while I'm like interested in the Han Solo movie, I do not have that like drive. Like this is my most anticipated movie. So like, I don't know what is gonna be, you know, I think next year is going to be very surprising.
I remember going into this year, I remember there were trailers for Split and I was like, that seems interesting. I had no idea like what I was in for. No idea. I was like, oh my God. But, going into next year, I don't know everything that's coming out, at least off the top of my head. I didn't think about this beforehand. I will just say this. When I went to go see, like, Star Wars, I saw this trailer. And it wasn't the first time I had seen it. And I think, like, there's some sort of weird backlash on Twitter. I don't know what it was. But it was the new Robert Rodriguez film. Oh, I was like, Alita?
Battle Angel Alita.
I think it looks like good. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I think it looks like super fun and like different and cool looking. Like, I thought she looked cool. Like, she like looks almost human, but also like an anime character. And it's just like,
big eyes.
So I honestly just remember seeing people like kind of pick on it or for whatever reason. I don't know what, but
I think it's a lot.
Cool. It looked cool to me.
A lot of what I've heard is the same complaints against the Ghost in the Shell movie that came out this year. It's been whitewashed.
Is that it? I did not know that. Like, I didn't know what it was.
And instead of like they made her eyes all funky and there's a bunch of bullshit behind it. But James Cameron's been trying to get this movie made for like 15 years, so.
And I think she looks cool, so like I don't really care. I honestly didn't know it was based on source material. So like, I don't know. All I'm saying is I saw the trailer and that just looked like cool as fuck to me. That looked like an amazing fucking summer movie. So like, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I'm all over that one. That looks fun too. So,
but other than that, like, yeah, I don't, you know, I know I'm hopefully getting my new Halloween. Guess what? Give me a new Friday the 13th. That would be great.
I want to hear about Friday the 13th. So Paramount, I believe it's Paramount, they canceled or they pulled the funding or whatever for a new Friday the 13th to make Leatherface.
Wow. Well, I actually kind of feel good about them doing that because if they're going to fuck up Friday the 13th like that.
Yeah, no, that's better.
I'd rather have, like, I love Texas Chainsaw also, but it's like Friday the 13th is the one that like needs a stronger boost. Like, if Texas Chainsaw at least had a couple like decent
shit
recently, you know. Sort of.
Well, one.
Yeah, I guess the one. And, you know, Friday the 13th had the one as well, but, like, I just dig Friday the 13th. So, like, I would love them to get to their follow-up to that. But who knows if we ever get that.
No, but we are getting that Halloween movie. So.
We're getting that. Other than that, I don't know.
We'll see. Lots of stuff.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure there will be at least 10 films that I love next year.
Yeah.
And with that, we bid you adieu. Till next time.
Yep. Happy New Year.
Movie dudes.